G'day golfers. Ever found yourself redirecting blame and making excuses after having an absolute shocker on a golf course? I know that I have. Range was closed, I was a little cold, didn't warm up, I hit it in those three old divots. Then we have the podcast for you. We focus on how to fundamentally own your swing. Strike it pure and consistently shoot in the 70s. Be it if you're a weekend hack, retired and playing daily, a school phenom, or a tour professional. We present and discuss facts and physics pertaining to golf, trying to keep our ego and opinion at bay. We dispel myths such as keep your head down, bend your knees, or my all-time favorite, game improvement irons. So stop drinking that mythical Kool-Aid and have a sip of ours. I think you'll find it both inspiring and refreshing. I'm Scott Young, founder of Swing, PGA professional and ex-tour player. And together with physical therapist Dr. Sean Joyce, welcome to Pivot the Path. G'day, golfers, and welcome to Pivot the Path. Unfortunately, I'm flying solo today. SJ is away with his family playing golf. So it's the boss and I flying solo today on Pivot the Path. So welcome to everyone. It feels kind of funny not having my mate here. No one to talk to. So we just wanted to dive straight into this and hope everyone's had a great week. We're starting to get nice and warm here in NYC. And then today it was back down to 26 degrees. So it was freezing. And my mum and my sister fly in to see Swing, actually. They've never seen it. First time my mum's been here for 10 odd years. And my sister used to live here. So can't wait to show them Swing. So they fly in tomorrow morning from Sydney. And it's going to be cold. It's going to be very cold. So welcome to the Young family to New York City tomorrow, which is cool. News from the fairways. Scottie Scheffler, what an amazing Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. Scottie had 8-under final round to win by one, which was just unbelievable from Brian Harman, who, British Open winner, certainly played well, didn't get much of the limelight. Brian's kind of a quiet little train just chugging along, and Scottie Scheffler made some noise. Back-to-back, first time in 50 years someone's gone back-to-back in the Players, and that golf course looked just unbelievable. So that was just phenomenal. Minwoo Lee, so he's playing some fantastic golf. I think he came tied 54th, 2-under. So just a complete machine, Minwoo Lee, just keeps on going. Young kid. I actually said to SJ that I believe he's going to potentially win the Masters. He would be my black sheep for all you guys and girls who throw a little bet your way. Will Zalatoros missed the cut this week. So four over there, he had missed cut, which is what it is. To get back to my father-in-law, Pop, shout out Pop, he used to talk about the adrenaline dump, they called it. It's actually a position where the body's in fight or flight, and then after the event, the brain starts to shut the body down. And we talked about this a little bit last episode. We're on point. Scottie Scheffler was talking about this in his post-conference interview, where he talked about how hard it is to back it up after an amazing event. And so I'm proud of Pivot the Path because I know we're on point with everything we talk about. And he commented how difficult it was to actually back up that win. So, mate, shout out to Scottie Scheffler. He's not the most swaggerous golfer out there, but by golly gosh, he can play some golf. And to have 8-under and just blow that field away was so cool. So, mate, it's an awesome win. He's looking obviously pretty good for the Masters. And we wish him luck. I hope his neck's under control. He seems to have finished his or completed his PT on his traps and neck and thoracic mobility. So that seems to be pretty damn solid. So what are we going to talk about today? Without my partner in crime here, we thought we'd just take some questions from, we get a flood of emails and SMSs and calls, and everyone's been so positive about this podcast. So we thought we'd throw it back because I do miss SJ, and we thought we'd just listen to you guys and girls and hear some of the questions. So we'll dive straight into it. John W. Tennessee, the media report all the time about Rory's fancy driver shaft Is it worth the hype? Mate, thanks very much for the question. Great question. And my particular answer is, obviously, we always keep it high and tight on facts, is that unfortunately what you see these players use and how it's spray painted or painted is largely two different beasts. So the golf shaft that you see out Rory using on tour, I don't know if it's the same that's hit the retail market. And the cost of that driver shaft is about $400, which is completely insane. Driver shaft or a driver shaft period promotes about 95% of ball flight. So head's largely irrelevant. It doesn't matter whether you're using a brand new bit of tech or my three wood's 35 years old. It's an old Warbird Callaway. It makes no difference in head of ball flight, very little. Gear effect, and we call that twist face, I'm not a fan of, but it does curve the ball greater for the average golfer who mishits it. And their theory is, and we won't have to get into it, but their theory is because the twist face is starting the ball more offline, it will hit the fairway more. So the mathematics on that does actually make sense, although I don't agree with it. But the driver shaft is very important. To answer the question, the driver shaft you see Rory play, mate, most of the shafts that you guys can get retail is not the shaft that he's using. So I would be very careful spending any driver shaft over about $150. I build to a standard X-Flex shafts. Nothing leaves our store without them being perfect. And their top's $179. You just don't need to spend $300 plus on a driver shaft. It's absolutely insane. I've got a set of clubs that I'm building for Pat, who's just a delightful member here. They're 3 inches over standard set of irons, and I'm using 2-iron X-Flexes, and I think they were about $40 a shaft. So unfortunately, the media and the marketing train just starts taking flight, and they leverage that to expose you guys because unfortunately, you know, it's all marketing and fad. So I would strongly advise you don't need to spend more than $200 for a driver shaft. As long as it's X-Flex, remember, lighter's faster. Lighter, unfortunately, because graphite's layers upon layers upon layers, lighter usually isn't as stiff as a heavier shaft just because the layers are less layers, more bend. But every male who's athletic above, you know, 20 years of age, above 16 years of age, should have an X-Flex driver shaft and shafts in their irons and three woods because the dispersion between club head is diminished when that shaft's really stiff. So just be really careful on spending too much money. You can flick us an SMS, email, podcast question on anything about golf clubs and equipment. But no, mate, you don't need to go buy that driver shaft that Rory's using. It's just marketing garbage. So Peter A. from Georgia. Pete, love the podcast. Very informative. I'm a golf nut and I'd like to get my wife involved. What do you suggest? What an awesome question. I have the boss who basically created everything you see artistically here at Swing and the podcast. I'd love to get Rosemary into golf. Obviously, she's busy, works full-time, kids and manages the house as well. Look, that is a great question. I think the first thing to do with your partner, irrespective whether it's the mum playing and the dad wants to get into it, vice versa, is just knowledge. Understand and have a really solid golf lesson, just one. Please don't spend an hour on the grip. I have brand new golfers in here and we get them hitting high draws in about 20 minutes. And we try not to go too much on anything too micro. It's just big macro goals. And you should be able to get an absolute beginner to hit a high draw in about 25 minutes. You don't need 10 lessons on the grip and 5 lessons on posture. Be athletic. Go see your golf pro who gets you hitting golf balls with a 7-iron in 10, 15 minutes. Make sure they put you through a screen. Because I think that one lesson of actually understanding how to move and how to actually hit down on the golf ball is so important because that's the hook. You know, Rosie and I often talk about what's our hook at Swing, and our hook is improvement and physiology and understanding gear effect and obviously the way we teach in here. The hook for your partner who's not a golfer is that first shot of hitting down, ball goes up and just cracks. So I think for those guys and girls who are trying to get into it, have a hook understand what your partner needs, and that partner needs to be able to hit that ball that just sails up into the air. You don't need to be able to control the flight. And once they get that hook, they're away. So I think that looks like a lesson, half an hour, 45-minute lesson, and then maybe go to the range. To me, that's, you've got to find the hook to get that golfer obsessed. So that is an awesome question. I would absolutely love it if the boss and I played golf together with our girls. We will. We'll get there. But yeah, find the hook and then kind of work backwards. Couple more here. Rachel C. Where's from New Jersey. We used to live in New Jersey. Shout out our New Jersey family. Love you guys. Love the chat. I have two kids work full. Here we go. I have two kids work full time and also manage the home. Realistically, how many times do I need to go to the range to see improvement? Isn't that funny? Great question, Rachel. That's a great question, actually. It all kind of depends on how you approach it. We built this swing platform based around the methodology of 1 hour of great practice a week, methodical practice, can get you breaking 80. And I firmly, firmly stand by that. For that 1 hour a week, I would have half an hour of technique and half an hour of routines, whether it's short game routines, putting routines, full swing routines, chipping routines. Because learning the skill is obviously important, but being able to put that skill into practice is really important. You know, I've had the pleasure of playing with Sir Nick, a mate of mine used to caddy for him, Murray Lott. And Sir Nick Faldo used to say, golfers are subconsciously incompetent. Then there's the learned skill of being consciously competent. The hard part of golf is becoming subconsciously competent. And I think Sir Nick, as though as that's a harsh call, has absolutely got that bang on. It takes, you know, my work down at the hospital, it takes about 30 times a day for 3 weeks to create a habit. So getting back to your point, how many times do we have to go to the range to improve? It really depends on how well you structure your practice, which is why SJ and I always talk about structure, structure, structure. If you had an hour a week and we can create a platform for you to improve, 30 minutes of getting the structure of good technique, 30 minutes of trying to switch the brain off to be subconscious in performance, that'd be phenomenal. An hour a week would be insane practice, but you've got to structure it well. So reach out to us and we can let you know, based on what practice facilities you have, whether you have a grass range, synthetic grass, whether you're on an indoor driving range. So we can help with that. So yeah, an hour a week. So thanks, Rach, for the email there. Okay, so the boss tells us we're in about 18 countries now, which is so exciting. We just love doing this podcast. So we've got Stuart I from the UK. Greetings from Cumberlandshire. Marvelous podcast. I just wanted to touch base. I've moved to North England. Tends to rain, but still absolutely love playing a round of golf when I can. Any tips when performing in the rain? What a great question, Stuart. Firstly, get out there in the rain. As you know here, and I haven't been to the UK for many years, but when I was there last, like Australia, it's very a non-kart dominant sport compared to the US, which is kart dominant. So most of the time you're walking. So I'm going to pretend that you're walking here to answer this question. And absolutely, mate, there's a million things you can do when you're playing golf to enjoy the experience. So firstly, grab a little rain cover for your golf bag. Make sure the zippers are, try not to have a zipper that's parallel to the ground. Try and have a vertical zipper in the middle. It's easy to get your clubs. Or if you're just using the bag cover, that works. But I think a rain cover, I actually take the bag cover that comes with the bag. I take it off and just use a clear rain cover for the entire bag. Throw it on your buggy, or if you're carrying, then I would have the little top cover. So again, just to be clear, if you're pushing a cart, push cart or pulling, but remember, pushing a buggy is so much better for your lower back than pulling. Take the top of the actual bag cover off and just use the big entire bag synthetic plastic see-through. That's far better if you're pushing your buggy. Or if you're carrying, your body's going to get wet, so you just have the actual top of the bag cover that comes with the bag. So that's really important. Secondly, when you've got your umbrella, throw a towel in the rods of the umbrella and then have two gloves or three gloves on the struts. The only thing I think is you're only out there for 4 hours. You can get wet. Doesn't matter to me if your shoes get wet. Try and obviously have the Gore-Tex shoes, but you can't have a wet towel and wet gloves. So if I'm carrying on my right shoulder, which I 49ers still do, I'm going to have my umbrella in my left and I've got my towel drooped over that. I'm pedantic when I play and stay dry, and I'm pedantic about the gloves. And I'm not a massive fan of the wet weather gloves. I think they're pretty useless. I'd rather have 4 or 5 gloves up in my umbrella than have those wet weather gloves. I just think they're too clunky. I can't feel the golf club. And it's just about systems. So your bag's covered. I just try to have one pre-shot routine when I'm playing in the rain. And so, you know, when we had caddies, he'd stand over you if you're reading putts with an umbrella. The caddy's allowed to stand over you when you're looking, but he's not allowed to stand over you when you're actually putting or performing. I try and have most of my pre-shot routine, if it's really bucketing down, I'll have most of my routine carrying an umbrella. And so you just kind of have to play around with it. Trying to get a routine that works for you is you just got to play around with it. So get your wife or your partner or your husband to get a hose. No, I'm joking. Put the hose on and just practice in the backyard. Again, towels and gloves and grips have to stay dry. And then once you get the use of it, you'll get the hang of it. It's pretty simple. And just quicken up your routines. So just practice those routines. Maybe have your pre-shot routine, having a waggle, holding the umbrella. If you're doing a chip shot and you're testing that surface, you've got your umbrella in the left hand, have a couple of practice swings and a waggle in the right. So it just comes down to systems. So fantastic. Look, as we said, we're in 18 countries now. So if you are listening and enjoying us, please share the podcast and send it to your mates and golfing buddies. And what we're about here is just about improvement. Keep it high and tight on improvement. Beauty golfers, look, thanks for listening. Next week, we'll have Sean back. We're going to get some news from his fairways on how he plays and what he's been up to. He's been playing golf with his family, so hopefully he's been playing well. We'll be back to normal next week. SJ, we missed you. Mate, look, thanks for listening to Pivot the Pass. And remember, your on-course enjoyment starts with the work you put into your game, so you can absolutely own your swing. So keep swinging, keep practicing. SJ will be back next week, and we'll get back into video content and getting back into showing you how to absolutely own your swing. Cheers for now.